Why? Praise the Lord. Now that is a different thing from a Christian going to marry a second wife. A Christian that goes to marry a second wife. Amen. Of course, it's not a Christian. There's no Christian that will do that. Because I've always believed that you are either a Christian or you are not. And that you are carrying Bible or you are a church worker. And every time you are, it's not evidence that you are a Christian. Or every day you are going to church, it's not evidence that you are a Christian. Because there are more unbelievers in the church than in the beer parlors. Praise God. Praise the Lord. People carry Bible, whole Bible, and live their life, everything they live their life, contrary to what is written in that Bible. Are they believers? The Bible says fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, all these ones, it says they will not, adulterers, idolaters, it said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you are carrying Bible, and you are an adulterer, you are a fornicator, you are a liar, you are a drunkard, and you are a believer. You don't believe what that Bible says. That's why I say, a believer, you are either a Christian or you are not. There's no borderline faith. You are either here or you are here. You are either in the world of unbelief or you are a Christian, a believer. Praise the Lord. So a Christian that goes to marry another woman, you're a Christian. You have finished. You have crossed the boundary of mercy. If there's anybody here, you get a wife for house, you marry for church, self declaring that you are a Christian, and you keep one woman outside. Anytime your wife vexes you, you go and sleep there that night. Do like say you vex. Then come back. They are the type that if the woman get belly, finish born one pikin, they don't know how they will tell the woman for house. They come and be shedding crocodile tears. Honey, the thing I want to tell you now. My heart. I don't know how the thing happened. I don't know. I just don't know. One useless girl outside. Just one so. I don't know what pushed me go there. And I want beer where I drink. I just don't know. That girl, she charmed me. Now only one so. She can't get belly, get picking. Sister, now lie. A lie. And Christians go that far. So-called Christians. Anyway, I use that as an example. So you must pray according to His will. So, whatever prayer points, whatever you need from God, be sure that it is according to His will. It is never the will of God for you to carry cocaine. So prayer for God to bless your cocaine business can never work. Cocaine people know they come here, sir. So they cannot waste my time for that. Can't come here now. Can't come here. You're planning to travel to carry cocaine. Then you decided to come here for prayer before going. Now for Mutala here, they will catch you. You should go to Sele. Go to any of those places that specialize in that type of thing, because they are juju houses. They are not churches. They are juju houses. So go to the Babalawos and do what they want to. So continue your evil and you will succeed. Others have been succeeding. You too, you will succeed. If you do exactly what they say you should do. But now you want to come to church to bless 419 business. You are doing Yahoo Yahoo. You are praying, Lord, let me hit it big. Let me hit it big. You will hit it and EFCC will come the next day. Go anywhere. Jail. Now you go waste your life. If you come to this church for that type of prayer. And sister, that you are looking for a man. You are praying for the man to marry you. And then every day, you go put your leg for him. Every day, you go put your leg for him. Which marriage again do you want? You're already married now. But that's the truth. Which marriage are you looking for again? So that prayer is not according to God's own will. The Bible in Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. He said, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. An adulterer, a fornicator, is coming to say, Lord, Lord, make Jide to marry me. Lord, make Jide to marry. I have given him everything he wants. Anything he tell me to do, I do it. Yet his eye is still going to run. Okay? Lord, hey, turn his heart here. Turn his heart. And at the prayer point, they come pray for you after this. His eye go go wrong. Okay? Because you are coming to make caricature of a holy God. Or to make caricature of a holy God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It must be according to God's own will. God's own will. When the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, you understand now. That is one of it. One of it. Lack of knowledge. Knowledge of God's will. We make you go to mountain and fast for nothing. So they develop ulcer for nothing. That you are praying, so they fasting, dry fasting, so they answer, no, they come. Wait and go back and find out. God say, he who asks receives. Why am I not receiving? Go back and find out. I hope this, my prayer point, is according to the will of God. It's important, and I preach a message here that I title the perfect will and the permissive will of God. God has two wills. There is the perfect will and there is the permissive will of God. I am talking about the perfect will of God. When you are in the perfect will of God, you have less stress. Less stress in everything, including ministry. Including ministry. God has never ordained a prophet to be a pastor. A prophet that is pastoring a church is out of the will of God. And show me one successful church of a prophet. Struggle, 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 gather, they will scatter, gather, struggle, struggle, they scatter, they will gather, scatter, struggle, struggle. And when I say prophet, I mean a real prophet. I don't mean those who claim office. Most of those prophet doctor, they are no prophet, nothing. Nothing. A prophet is one that has the ability to inquire. That is who a prophet is. Amen. The gift I have, if I was not revelated, I would have added prophet Dr. Moses Alu. Because where they got get their doctorate degrees from, all these funny, funny institutions all over, they have come every year they write to me, offering me honorary doctorate degree. Stop that nonsense. Every year you have been selected for award, which institute. My award is coming from heaven, not from man. If I have won an award, give your soul to Christ. That's evidence I have won an award. You are my award if you give your life to Christ. All this nonsense they do with title, because Africans like title. You see one man alone, he's prophet, apostle, evangelist, doctor. Line up before his name. You are not enough to be called bishop. You must add archbishop. Archbishop, reverend doctor. And people look at it and think they are Christian titles. Has nothing to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Reverend somebody has nothing to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. Archbishop, nothing, nothing. His grace, nothing. His preeminence. It is the preeminence of his local church. is preeminent there, not in the body of Jesus Christ. The only preeminent person is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is by his grace we are who we are. Therefore, a man cannot answer his grace. Which grace? His holiness. Which holiness? It's all ignorance. Praise the Lord. If there's any reverend here or reverend missus here, just don't be deceived. It has nothing to do. I didn't say you cannot be here, but just know that it is the title of your own church, not the church of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing. You can bear any title you want. Your church can give you any title. But don't make it look as if it is a position in the body of Christ. There are only 6 offices that God has ordained for the leadership in his church. Ephesians 4:11 has 5 of them, and 1 Timothy chapter 3 has 1. 5-4 ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Then, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the office of a deacon. That is 6 offices. Any other office, anybody bear? It's just your own local church that didn't give you. Has nothing to do with it. And for a man to be a reverend doctor, that you have doctorate degree in theology and all that, you know, it's an academic title. It's an academic. You can have your doctorate degree in anything. You can have doctorate degree in building. Doctorate degree in mechanic. You can have doctorate degree in computer, doctorate degree in history, photography, doctorate degree, fashion design, doctorate degree. You can learn it up to doctorate degree level. Praise the Lord. That's not it, but when it comes to Bible theology, you can have PhD in theology. That is academic. It has nothing to do with the church of Jesus Christ. And whom God call, he does not make him a reverend doctor. When God call you to watch over his church, it's one of those 6 offices I have mentioned. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now the reason why he said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because so many people again think that deliverance will come through some form of dry fasting or punishing of themselves in any way. No, it's because you don't even know this God we serve. Deliverance does not come through any form of fasting. Fasting can never chase a demon out of you. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, in John chapter 8, and the truth shall make you free, think, meditate over it. There's something you are to know that will grant you freedom. Freedom from the enemy. Freedom from the shrine in your village. Freedom from all the fiery darts of the enemy, as Apostle Paul called it. Freedom comes by a knowledge. A knowledge. I was quoting 2 Peter on Sunday. I was emphasizing on Sunday here that Apostle Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he says, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Your faith. What is faith? Faith is your decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Christianity, your Christian faith, your decision to be a Christian is your faith. He said, add to that faith virtue. What is virtue? That is, make that your faith attractive. Make that your faith attractive so that people can see you and by your faith. Amen. You not sleep last night? You not sleep? Sorry, what happened? Your body they pain you. Your body they pain you, not feel sleep. Your body they pain you. Now you not feel sleep. Your husband, they trouble you. Praise God. God will call a name now for heaven. If they trouble you. Any woman where your husband, they trouble you here. Holy Ghost! All of now. Praise God. Apostle Peter said, add to your faith virtue. That is, make your Christianity, your Christian faith attractive. That is a virtue. So that somebody will see you alone and say, come, I want to follow you, God, at your church. You not talk anything. You not preach anything, no. But there's something around you that is attractive. That is why Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. He said, and William Branham repeatedly said, you as a Christian say, make your life so salty that everybody will want to come and taste of it. That is, add to your faith, add virtue. Virtue. Then he said, add to your virtue knowledge. That's where I am going. Add to your faith, add to your virtue, to virtue, add knowledge. Why? He said, add knowledge because somebody is going to come to you. Virtue is going to attract somebody to come to you. And when they come, they want to ask you certain questions about this, your faith that is so attractive. You should be able to know what to tell the person. So you must add knowledge to it. And also, when you don't add knowledge to it, you can mess up the faith you have. Go off without knowing you have gone off. Praise God. So that's why when you come here every time, you came here for healing and deliverance. Church, there is healing and deliverance in the Bible. God heals. God delivers. In this ministry, I have seen God carry somebody and repackage that person again. He does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God can make you somebody who was nobody. He can make you something from nothing. He can lift you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He can lift you up to a level. Hallelujah. He can lift you up to a level that no man has ever believed you will ever reach. That's the God we serve. He answers prayers. I was driving to church this morning and a young man called me. That same young man during the camp meeting, Yusuf from Bauchi. From Bauchi that came down. After he received his deliverance. Amen. You know, up north there. Turn down this volume. It's too loud. Praise God. It's too loud, please. It's okay, it's okay. Praise the Lord. You know, up north, in the north, because of this satellite free-to-air My TV decoder, everywhere up north there, they watch the churches. It's TB Joshua, they know. Up north is TB Joshua. So anybody that has a program, a problem, please turn down this volume. Tell them they didn't hear me. Anybody that has a problem in the north that is deferred or solution, they run to TB Joshua. And that young man ran to TB Joshua. I was coming to TB Joshua. He has visited him. He is suffering from his problem. We will hear his testimony on Sunday because we record, on Friday night. I intend to show it Friday night and pick our prayer points from there for our Friday night vigil this Friday. But from I think 2004 or so many years back, he's been suffering. Serious, the demons that were in him to torment that young man. Serious. Demons, serious demons, not small demons. Mami Wata Getty, how many other calls? Everywhere he went for solution, he was initiated. Everywhere he went, they will add their own on top, add their own on top. But he came here, amen. When he came for, he was now coming for the third time to TB Joshua. And then he said, just call a friend. And a friend directed him that before you go there, I say, you should come to this place. He said, now TB Joshua, but you've been there two times now. You've met him face to face. He prayed for you. The situation, no change. Go and try another place now. Well, he happened to come when we were having the June program. And some of you who were here, you know his testimony. Somebody who could not walk. They finished that young man. He called me this morning. He said he's telling them in the north there that there are other churches in Lagos so apart from TB Joshua. Amen. Anyway, Skybank had just offered him employment. Just within what? You spoke with him. They just offered him now. He said, all his life is being repackaged again. His life is being repackaged again. Well, I am not saying we are more anointed than TB Joshua. I'm not saying so. Praise the Lord. And there should be no true man of God that should claim anything like that. I've never believed that. We are talking about a God that delivers. That's the emphasis. And he chooses where he will use to deliver you. He chooses. And there is a purpose why he will choose a particular place to deliver you. In Luke chapter 4, he said that there were other widows in Israel, but during the time of famine, he said, Jesus Christ was making reference, he said, Elijah was not sent to any other widow, but to that widow as Zarephath. Amen. It's, of all the widows that had more food than this one as Zarephath, this one that had the last one was the one God chose that he should go to that woman as Zarephath. There is a purpose why he was specific there. And the evidence is that once you step there, you will see the reason. There are so many of you that problem brought you to this church. But when you came in here, you forgot your problem because of what you are hearing. You decided to face your soul first and be saved first. Praise God. Because a young girl from the choir department now, she was telling me she said she came here for a healing, a strange disease in her stomach. Very strange, pores coming out. They operated on her. The place refused to close. The doctors, different hospitals, they gave up. They knew this was something else. Somebody directed her here. According to her, she was a staunch member of Deeper Life and she backslided. You know the way they teach you there. Once you backslid, they have no room to slide back again. So once you see yourself fall for any reason, because they misplaced scriptures. So, she went wild. Went back to palming her hair, wearing earrings, wearing trousers. And, you know, that disease tormented her. She found her way here. She told me, she said, the first day she came in here for the healing, she said, what she had, she decided, let me settle myself with God first. She went home, packed her trousers, packed her earrings, packed those attachments, and burnt all of them. And stayed there, crying to God to have mercy on her. Even if she will die, let me reconcile with my maker. Because of what she had. You see, why God directed her here? And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness. What will happen? Healing is automatic. So what doctors could not do, One time prayer, God did it for her. Praise the Lord. God knows how to arrest every one of us. Every one of us. Every one of us. Let me tell you, whatever, there are genuine children of God here. The problem that push you here so that you will hear something for the salvation of your soul, because your name is in the book of life. God has ordained you to go to heaven. But there are some things you should know, you should hear. That's why you are here. I was praying this morning. I told the Lord, we are those you have ordained to go to heaven through this ministry. Go around Lagos. Just then, let them come here today. Amen. There are people that God has ordained through this ministry. Some will go through some other ministry. But this ministry, there are people that he has ordained through this ministry. And he can use anything, anything, including marriage failure. Amen. Including marriage failure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh? A man was about to drive his wife away. He married a woman that had serious spiritual problem. Eh? Serious spiritual problem. I don't know if I told them to see me today. I saw you on Sunday. Chiwendu, Sister Chiwendu brought you to me. The sister here. You're not here? Okay. Did I tell them to see me today? Okay, I just remember their case. It's true now that I was going to drive her away because that woman was possessed with serious, the demon husband was very jealous type. Koro koro like this, he go call. No be dream or no be sleep or koro koro like this, he go enter room, chase the man, come out, stay on the woman, attack the man's businesses, attack everything. Amen. So for the man to be saved, he too don't go all manner of places. Don't juju here, one juju here, one juju here, to protect himself. He said he was going to send her home. The woman no say he won't send her and go. Kwata kwata be that. He say and go your papa village. When you go there, wait till I send for you. And then somebody told her about this church. She ran here and met one of the prophets here. My husband was sending me away by trick. He want to send me away. He not talk what happened. He want to send me away. And the prophet told her, prayed and said, this is thus said the Lord. You will go and you will come back. Amen. Your husband will send back for you back. And it happened exactly. And because of it, somehow, she decided to bring that man. There were one serious fight was going on in the house. Sister Chiwendu is here today. Chiwendu, are you here today? She has not come here. That sister said the picture of that woman, our sister here, one of our sisters here, he said that she appeared, I'm sorry, an angel appeared to her that she should go and meet that sister. She went and described who she saw, and the sister said, yes, that is the angel that I always see that talk to me. And said, this is it. She called me and said, see you. One man, one driving wife come out, they're having trouble. I don't know what I will go and tell them. This and that. I told her to come and I sent Obodechi, a minister here, evangelist here, to go with them to the man's house. The man was telling me on Sunday when they entered, he was looking at them. Who are these ones? And right there, as they were talking, the deliverance took place in his sitting room. Amen. He said he has never seen this type of thing before. And he therefore decided to locate the church. When he came here, after one service, he went and packed all the juju, all the pots, and all those concussions they gave him. They brought it here and it was destroyed. Now he's a serious believer. Serious believer. You see what problem led him to Christ? Praise the Lord. He was telling me, he said, once it is 12, he doesn't sleep. From 12 till 3, he is praying. Every night from 12 to 3, he is praying. And God has started lifting him up again. All that demon scattered is again bringing him together. Church, what I'm trying to tell you, praise the Lord, there's something you must know concerning deliverance, and then we pray now. Is that your deliverance does not come by fasting. It does not even come by too much of prayers. Because there is a way, a revelated person, there's a way you package your prayer, you won't pray for too long. You won't pray for too long. Amen. Which prayer do you want to pray again when God has told you so many things? You should be thanking him. Thank you. Sometimes that you want to pray, you'll be wanting, waiting, I go pray for again. Oh, make us just a thank God. Meanwhile, food to eat, you never get ammo. But there is something you know. Something you know. And I always say, is anybody here today your first time of coming to this ministry? Can you wave your hand? There are plenty. God bless you. God bless you. Because you come from different backgrounds. God bless you. Put down your hand. You see, because there are churches that if you have problem before you meet the minister, the PA will give you 7 days dry fasting, depending on what you told him is your problem. And I hate it. That's why every time I keep hammering it. Deliverance does not come by any dry fasting. Nothing. Nothing. I have never told anybody to fast before praying for you. Okay. 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 There are two cases. Okay. Yes. I say, come that day. I say, that day, no eat till I finish your prayer. And I said it purposely. Praise the Lord. I said it purposely. And the prayer was in the afternoon. I said it purposely so that the person will come prepared because of something I saw. I said, don't eat before you come. Come like that. And before I reach church, he don't come. Now, afternoon, when I finish the prayer, I say, can I eat now? I say, go and eat. The prayer don't finish. In the Bible, it is not, he said, this kind cannot go except by fasting and prayer. That's what everybody quotes for you. I know that scripture too. He is saying, he's not saying that the person that has problem is the one that will fast. It is you that will pray for that person that will fast. If I don't fast, I cannot cast out that spirit. There are some spirits that it must take a man that regularly fasts to be able to confront it. Amen. It's not for you to tell somebody suffering from stomach trouble, ulcer. You say, go and do dry fasting. You want to kill him? Somebody has HIV, opportunistic disease, tuberculosis, has sprung up. You know, the chop in blood don't dry, all go. It's standing before you, HIV. You say, go and do 3 days dry fasting. You won't kill him? Amen. It is the minister. Every true minister must live a life of fasting. Regularly, a true minister that prays for people must regularly be fasting. Fasting. If not, some cannot go. Some will go, but some spirits lie. Fasting will take you to a realm to fight it. Praise the Lord. So imagine that I'm coming here to face all manner of trouble, then I go hammer it back before coming to serve. When I'm praying, what I wait, and then they say, come for waiting. As soon as I come, as soon as I go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But a Christian must be fasting. Every Christian must live a life of fasting regularly. I expect that the minimum requirement, by my own recommendation, or it's not thus said the Lord, I believe that at least once every week, one day should be a day that a Christian should fast. But that fasting is not because you have a problem. That fasting is to keep you consecrated and check your flesh and keep you connected above. Nothing more. It's a self-cleansing period. Not because you have a problem. If you have any problem, there is provision in the scriptures. Are you sick? These signs shall follow them that believe. So go to a minister. They will lay hand upon the sick. The sick shall recover. Go to a minister. Let him lay his hand upon you. If he has a healing gift, it will go. And anyone that has a healing gift knows to keep your gift sharp, you must be fasting regularly. Whether it is vision you see, spend the whole week, eat three times a day, and see how your vision would look like by the end of the week. Sometimes now one light go flash. Check out. You say, what thing happened? So sometimes you go see now one stick across vision. Sometimes you go say, no understand again. Why? What to clean that screen is fasting. To clean that screen so that you go see where. You fast, withdraw, keep your eyes. That eye where they see vision cannot see certain films, certain programs for television. That eye must be consecrated. If you see vision, that eye, you cannot be spend 3 hours and watch one whole movie that has nothing to do with your spiritual life. Nothing. That eye now blind, the blind, and so that is how spiritual eye they blind. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what is his provision for you to be free? First and foremost, you must be free. Whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. The thief cometh not to steal, kill, and destroy. But he, Jesus Christ, came that we might have life. And have it what? More abundantly. Whom the Son of Man has set free. All of us, we are caught under the bondage of the effect of sin from the Garden of Eden. Hereditary curse. When they say hereditary curse, foundational curse, foundation. Every human being has a foundational curse. The foundation is from the Garden of Eden. For which reason Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary, shed his precious blood, that we might be free. Freedom from what? Freedom from the power that the enemy has over us. Church, praise the Lord. Listen, church, it is not freedom from sicknesses and disease. Church, listen to my English. It's not freedom, amen, from frustration. No. There's a reason why that sickness is coming. There's a reason why that frustration is coming. Hallelujah. Why? The one that is responsible for tormenting us, he has a right over us by virtue of the curse that is following us as a result of the sin from the Garden of Eden. But I believe now, but yes, if you believe, that power is supposed to be broken. The right Satan has at will to throw any sickness at you and it will work. There is a power he has to do it. That's why he's doing it. Believers, if you believe, that power is supposed to be broken. That is why I say, if you don't understand this, you think, now I'm a Christian, why am I still sick? You will still be sick, but that sickness has no power over you again. Therefore, you cannot come for prayers. You can't talk of going for deliverance when you have not yet the power that demon has over you has not been broken. That's what I try to take time to let the people understand. Every Tuesday you come here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have known there is a power it has over you. There's a power it has over you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, do you know that? You know that a landlord, when you are owing him rent, you know he comes and asks anyhow, open this door, make a certain day in this room. You go open for him. You go open. You go enter your bedroom, come out. You enter this room, come out, and you can do nothing. Why? You don't pay rent, you are not entitled to stay there. You can't challenge him because you didn't pay rent. You are owing. He has even given you quit notice. But church, when you know that you have paid your rent, where I was staying, when the landlord wanted to sell the house, so he brought people to come and inspect the house to pay. They inspected us and now they want to go inside. I said, no, you can't come in here. You can inspect outside, but in here, you can't come into my house. They went and called the landlady. The landlady said, hey, Pastor Moses, I sent those people, they were the ones I want to buy the house. I said, of course. The limit they are to go, they have gone. I said, my privacy is guaranteed because I have paid my rent. She begged. I said, no, you can't let people enter my house like that. Go and show them the drawing. The architectural drawing. Let them know how the place is. Amen. But that's the truth. And I refuse. They didn't come. What I'm saying so is because the power he has to enter anyhow has been taken away by my rent that I have paid. Praise the Lord. The power that Satan has over you has been taken away by the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross on Calvary. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Hallelujah. He paid the debt. Therefore, Satan has no power over me again. You need to have this knowledge to be able to confront any demonic influences around you. There's nothing more than that. Me, I am standing here. There's nothing that makes me higher than you. Nothing. Nothing other than a knowledge I have that you may not have. That's all. Not because I'm a pastor. Because when I was just an ordinary church member in the one church in those early 90s, I spent 5 years there as a member of that church. The pastor knew there was a member of that church that knew his right as a pastor. I mean, as a Christian. It's true. Because when one Sunday I heard that he didn't come to church because he rushed his son to the hospital, I went and confronted him. Pastor, you're an unbeliever. Can you take your child to hospital? When the Bible has made provision for us, what will they teach the people? Well, I was that fanatical. But later on, I knew. It was later. God let me know that there's nothing wrong about going to hospital. But initially, I thought a Christian should not go to hospital. Because by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. And when I fall sick, I slug it out. Satan, you're a liar. Amen. Hallelujah. One time, I was almost dying. Almost dying. Because I will not go to hospital. I was almost dying. I was not a pastor. And everybody came and said, this one, don't tumor, you'll die for nothing, you'll die for nothing. When everybody left the room, I remember the little strength I had. I say, Lord, everybody knows that I refuse to take drugs or go to the hospital because I am standing on your word. If I die, then all of them will know that your word does not work. I didn't spend 2 minutes after that prayer when I saw the demon walked out of me. Amen. Strength came back. I came out and I saw those people. I said, I am back to life. They were saying, what happened? I said, by his stripes, I am healed. 20 something years now, since 1989 till now, I have not had reason to go to the hospital for anything. Amen. The right to torment me with sickness has been broken. When? Is it the day I gave my life to Christ? No. On the cross on Calvary. 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. For the demon to come and stand on my way. Say it's demon husband, demon wife. You know they hear me. I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. Amen. See, there are some demons that will hear you say that. They will say, people, I say, this one know it right. They go, pack, go. But there are some demons, they know the Bible, they know the spiritual law more than us. More than us. More than us. When you say, shut up. I say, I stood here several times, it has happened several times. I am making pronouncement. I will hear Satan countering it before somebody's ears. You are not a monk. You are not a monk. I will pause. Why will Satan go to somebody in this atmosphere? I say, nobody will die untimely death in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are not a monk. Hey. And the person will come out. Say, who is this person that just had this now? The person will come out. Why will Satan say you are not a monk? It's because he don't wear you finish. He knows who can be a monk, who cannot be a monk. He knows. He knows. It's not the size of your Bible that determines. It's not your frequency in the church that determines. There's something you must know. The truth is, has the blood of Jesus Christ taken care of the reason why Satan is tormenting you? If he has not taken care of it, he will control you forever. If he leaves you, just leaving you under this atmosphere, he say, out, he will go out. He wait outside there. As you come, go follow you. Don't mind these people. Every time, fire, fire, fire. Move, go, Joe. You continue. I know some people, when I conduct deliverance for them, finish. The spirit will come to them later and say, why did you go there? Why did you go there? What comes to my mind is, he's saying, why did you go there? It is not bride assembly that you went. You went to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not bride assembly. So that somebody will make you think that bride assembly is a special place. It is nothing special. What makes a place special is revelation. It's revelation. It's revelation. That's all. Knowing who you are makes you special. And it is not location. Because there are people that are members of this church, but they are not revelated. They come here, they have all the addresses of prophets and all the pastor. That's all. As they sit down, they talk, so they are sleeping. They won't even come here. All their own is, they pay their tithe faithfully. That's all. Any other thing beyond paying tithe, they know they are among. They are just waiting. Once there is a problem, they cannot, they have no confidence, no pingly faith to stay on their own and call upon the God of Israel. So they are busy. Hey, pastor, hey, Lord, Lord, let, I have seen somebody say he was praying, God, 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 Lord, Lord, as I'm going to call Pastor Moses now, Lord, confirm that he is your servant. Let him pick it, Lord. Let him pick it, Lord. The God that you will have called upon, to you have left him. You are looking for a man that you can talk to help you talk to God for you. That same God is your God, though. The same God of that man, though, is a Catholic hangover. Saint Mary, pray for me. Mary of Mother of God, pray for me. Saint Jude, pray for me. That is it. All that time you are looking for my phone number. Satan is hammering. Kaka. Kaka. Go disturb the line. Network problem. Now therefore they cause him. Because some of you to call upon him. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, deliver me. You are looking for a prophet to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Eh? Somebody gave testimony here the other day. He said, Pastor, my mama have been my sister, they die. My sister, they die. He's dying. Pastor, my sister, they die. I don't know. All this time you are wasting calling me. Eh? Why not cry to God? He answers prayers. He does not overlook distress. Anytime you are in distress, you call upon that name, Jesus. Heaven's attention comes down. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, hold on, sister, hold on. I said, you are the one I want to talk to, not be her. You are the one I want to talk to, not be her. You. Hey, Pastor. Cool down first, cool down. My sister is dying. They're telling me, cool down. Pastor, do something. Till I told her, get a glass of water. Shout the blood of Jesus Christ and give your sister to drink. I say, do it. Your sister will come back to life. She didn't know that one before. She did it. I think she came and gave testimony here. Is it because I told her to do it? If she had done it on her own, heaven will have backed it up. Amen. I only help her to tell her what she's supposed to do. So she thinks that it's because of me. Now in the thing happens, so she they come. Hey, this man is a mighty man of God. She's waiting. Next time there's trouble again, she will call me again. Ignorance. Praise God. See, this God answers my own prayer as he answers your own. I am his son. You are also his son. Amen. And he's not a partial God. He answers me. The reason why he answers me, he does not answer you, is because you have not faith like I have. I put my trust totally on him. Totally. And of course, I have no option knowing my background. If I step away from him, they will finish me. Amen. I stand there every day. I cast out devils. Do I need a prophet to tell me, say, Satan, they follow me? He must revenge now. Amen. Praise the Lord. This God is wonderful. It's wonderful. There are some serious deliverance. When you do like this, you go, you reach home, you get so tired. Before you know it, you make yourself relax. You just sleep off till morning. You wake up. Hey! I no pray. Before I sleep. Yeah. Amen. Then I remember the scripture. It says, the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. It's not because we pray too much, that's why he protects us. It's because he knows you depend on him and him alone. That's why he fights our battles for us. There are battles he fights for you that you don't even know he has fought for you. Because you trust in him and him alone. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for our freedom. For from the tormentor, from the devil. Devil means tormentor. Satan is the one tormenting the children of God. But God went to the cross on Calvary. Now, church, listen, why I am emphasizing all this, for somebody to catch the importance of the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the price for redemption. We have been brought back to God. The power of the enemy is taken away, but how do we receive this redemption? How do we do it? That is the doctrine of justification. Is water baptism. Church, your deliverance, I am telling you, that is the truth.
your deliverance begins only after water baptism. I'm telling you, that is the truth. And because it is so important, that's why Satan messed that doctrine up, so that people will not understand correct water baptism, so that it will constantly have dominion over you, control, and continue to torment you. Telling you, that is the truth. There is a wrong baptism and there is a correct baptism. And it will shock some of you coming here for the first time when I make a statement like this. Amen. Somebody just told me this morning that from England, said they are asking, who is this man? He said, who is this man? Amen. And the group, they are planning to travel to come down here. They want to come and know. Say, who is this man? Why? Praise the Lord. Amen. They said it's an offense in England to preach and call names, either name of church or name of any individual. Just say it the way it is and go. But I say, see how Antichrist, what he has done. Amen. If I don't call name, how will you know who I'm talking about? I must call names. I will continue to call names. Nothing will stop me from calling names. Names of people that have messed up Christianity, claiming to be men of God. Meanwhile, they are agents of Satan. Disturbing Christianity. Don't know where God bring you come. Amen. And they cannot kill me. There's nothing they can do. Those that be for me. Amen. They are more than they that be for the assassins. Look, the assassin will come. When he meet me, he will give his life to Christ. Praise the Lord. Because the assassin will discover I am saying the truth. They will know I'm saying the truth. Assassins don't kill innocent people. If he's a professional assassin, he will first try to find out whether the thing where they say you do not true. If they discover, say, Nahin cheat you, one eliminate you, take her. You know they kill you. They will go, but they will end up killing the person where he was sent for you. You want them to take innocent blood. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Amen. Church, when I say 90% of churches baptize wrongly. 90% they baptize wrongly. 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 Wrong. 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 Today, I'm not going to call name. No, I'm not going to call name. But I will say it, then you can know how your own church baptizes. Whether you are right or wrong. First and foremost, baptism is you identifying. Mark 16:16 says, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. What do you believe? You believe that you are the reason Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. You believe that he went and paid the price for your redemption. Do you believe? Yes. And is baptized. Two baptisms. Water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Water baptism, why? Because the evidence that you believe is you identify with that death through water baptism. You die first. That is repentance. Then he was buried. The water must cover you. Burial. On the third day he resurrected, giving us the hope of resurrection. Those who die in Christ, they will also rise with him. He is the first begotten from the dead, because others are coming after him. The hope of resurrection, you come out of that water. By that action, the power, the sin that brought the power of the enemy over you is remitted. Therefore, what power does he have again? What is his reason for tormenting you again? The blood of Jesus Christ has taken care of it. Then you can now go for deliverance. Then we can challenge heaven. Then, like a lawyer, that is the reason Jesus Christ is referred to as the advocate. He's a lawyer, because there's a spiritual court that we come before. He said, among his children, male or female, none shall be barren. But the witch is holding a woman's womb, and the blood of Jesus Christ has taken care of this. Jesus Christ is the advocate. He will come to enforce it. This is the reason I have shed my blood for this sister too, for this woman. Therefore, go and conceive. And he can never come back there. Amen. That demon that said you will not prosper in your business, the advocate will now come. No. He that was rich in all things became poor, that through his poverty, you may become rich. The advocate will quote it for him. Jesus believes in quoting. It is written. Praise the Lord. It is written. You don't know what it is to be a Christian. The greatest insurance on earth is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit and washed in his blood. Oh, this is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior, hallelujah. This is my story.
This is my story.
This is my song. Praising my Savior, hallelujah. You enter that water and come out. Every sin you have ever committed, that Satan has capitalized on it to torment your life, is washed away, is remitted. That is what the Bible says. You come out of that water, they ask you, even you, Ngozi, how many abortions you've committed to bring guilty conscience? He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is no more condemnation. No one can judge you. The one that can judge you is the one that has set you free. So, don't remind me that I was an armed robber. Don't remind me that this venereal disease is disturbing me because I was following prostitutes. I was doing it in ignorance. I enter that water and come out. I will jump. He said, praising my Savior. All day. Why are you praising my Savior? Why are you praising my Savior? They ask me why I'm happy, so I just tell them why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet a scoffer who asks me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. Here are they, on the blood, on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible has that death is conquered. In the sea of God's forgetful, as good and unfailing, praise God, my sins are clean. My sins are scoffers will come, unbelievers. Even you, yes, even me. That's the meaning of grace. You enter that water and come up. To that day, any sin you have ever committed that is making Satan control your life is gone. It's not dry fasting. It's water baptism first. Give your life to Christ. That is the only way you give your life to Christ. You believe. You confess with your mouth. I believe. If you believe, what is the evidence you believe? Go and enter that covenant with God that was sealed with the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ comes over you, washes away. The right that Satan has over you totally is taken away. It is then when sickness comes, you can challenge heaven. You can cast out devils. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will lay hand upon the sick shall recover. They will take serpents, it shall not hurt them. They will drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Why? When it comes, a young man said, poison, his son took poison and drank it. Is a young man here today? A young man said they took poison. His son took poison. I don't know what, a chemical, a particular chemical, and drank it. And the boy was going off. He shouted, "Ah, Lord Jesus!" He took the anointing oil. Hallelujah. Put it in the mouth. The young boy drank it and vomited that nonsense out. That's all. See the insurance? See the insurance? They will drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. See, he didn't say that you will not match the poison. You will match that poison, but it will not hurt you. Why? Before it does anything, you will cast it out. You will cast it out. They carry disappointment, cover you. Ordinary water in the name of Jesus. Wash your face in the name of Jesus. Who paid the price? That's all. That's all men go. They follow you. Anywhere they go. It's true now. Praise God. Hallelujah. A demon is claiming any right over you. Then you now go to deliverance department. They will now stay and challenge heaven. When that woman was pregnant, that demon that usually come after looking for fruit of womb for 10 years, so now she don't get belly. She came to this church, she's now baptized. She's a Christian, serious, full of faith. An Air Force officer's wife. She said, that demon came, tormenting her. I brought her before the congregation. I said, are you seeing the demon? Can you see the demon here now? Can you see the demon? Is it following anywhere they go, Abby? It's after that pregnancy. The pregnancy don't reach 8 months old. Amen. After looking for fruit of the womb for 10 years, that spirit tormented her. 10 years, nowhere she has not gone. And now she needs deliverance. You will expect that will come and say, I bind you, I scatter you, I bind you. She stood before the whole church. Can you see the demon? Say, see her here. I said, okay, thank you. Me, I no see, now you see. Praise the Lord. And I said, you demon following this woman, the right you have over her has been settled on the cross on Calvary. If you think that the blood of Jesus Christ does not cover this sister, or your power has not been taken care of by the blood of Jesus, I am going to count four. When I finish counting four, you stay here. One. Two. Now deliverance with that too. Three, before I reach four, I heard her say, go. The anointing took over the woman. Praise the Lord. She delivered her baby. I think she get three now, before. Three now. Get three. Three issues. Praise the Lord. The power in the blood of Jesus if God will reveal it to you. Each time you see any situation, you say, I plead the blood of Jesus. If God will make you understand what you mean, what you are saying, to get the meaning of what you are saying, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That power settles every curse, whether it is hereditary from your family, whether you enter that covenant by yourself, whatever it is, or they initiated you and put something in there, that power the enemy is using against you has been settled on the cross on Calvary. Let somebody catch that, to know that the sickness that is stopping you is not unto death. It's not unto death. Because he holds the key to my life. He has the last say. He owns the last breath I have. The enemy cannot decide when I will die. Only God will decide when I will die. He owns the last breath I have. Because I am a purchased possession. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He has purchased me. I am his property. Satan cannot torment the property of God. Now that is it for water baptism. But there is the correct baptism and there's a wrong baptism. If you understand the meaning of baptism now, then you discover that sprinkling of water, infant baptism, is wrong. It's wrong. So if the baptism you are boasting of is the one they sprinkle you upon you, go today and rebaptize. It's wrong. As a baby, they baptize you, sprinkle water, do whatever they do with you. It's wrong. Because number one, for the infant, you must first repent. Wrong baptism starts like this. You must first repent. If you don't repent and you enter water, whichever way you baptize, you have only gone to swim. Because you must first repent. That is, you can't be buried when you are not yet dead. Before they bury somebody, you must be dead. And that is repentance. Dead to sin. Dead to this world. A decision that comes from the heart. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. So it must be Jesus and Jesus alone. When you make that decision, and then you go and enter that water, praise the Lord. You come out in the spirit, you are in a different position now. Amen. And I say, sprinkling, when somebody is dead, you don't sprinkle sand on him and say, I bury you. Burial, baptism is burial. To be submerged by water covering you. So if you carry sand and sprinkle on somebody, you have not buried that person. So sprinkling, Anglican. Oh, I say I'm not going to call any name today. Na mistake. Praise the Lord. You are wrong, all of you that sprinkle. Then, there is wrong immersion. For those hearing us for the first time, Matthew 28 verse 19 says, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is in the name. One name of the Father is the same name of the Son, is the same name of the Holy Ghost. One name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Father is not the name. Son is not the name. Holy Ghost is not the name. There is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is the name for redemption. That's why Peter in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, he said, repent. He has the keys to the kingdom. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Baptism is for the remission of your sins, and baptism is done in the name of the Lord Jesus, because that name Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If anybody takes you inside the water and says, I baptize you according to Matthew 28 in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and put you inside water and brings you out, he has not yet baptized you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But the correct one is to bring you to the water and baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Every baptism in the Bible was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that name Jesus is the name of the Father. He gave his Son. The Holy Ghost, John 14:26, is coming in that same name. That's why Jesus Christ said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Why? Ephesians 3:15 says that that name Jesus is the family name. It's our family name. In heaven and on the earth, we are joined together by that name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is our papa's name. It's our son's name. It's our family name. Hallelujah. And so, if you enter water and you came out in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, you have not baptized with revelation. Therefore, Satan will continue to manipulate you. Manipulate. Your fight continue, because you have no reason, nothing to stand and challenge him. He knows better than that, that you have not yet come under the saving grace of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see why I say 90% of churches are wrong. No matter how large that church is, no matter how respected that man of God is, this simple doctrine of justification, if he does not know it, he leaves members of his church in struggle, and it has a bearing for your salvation. You must be justified to be glorified. It is only those whom he has justified that he glorifies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe I talk too much. Is there any question? Have I left anybody confused? Those coming for the first time, old member, keep quiet. You don't hear me tire. Anybody coming for the first time, any question? Maybe you are confused or you disagree with me. Maybe you show me something I don't know. Anybody? No question. Carry your water. Thank you. Thank you. No question. Carry your water. No question. Thank you very much. Come now. I asked if there's a question. You didn't stand up. Come. Somebody's hand was up there. See him at the back here. Somebody at the back here. Brother White. There's somebody here. Pick your water. God will confirm what I'm saying now, whether it is true or false. He will confirm now. Because all I'm going to do is to plead the blood of Jesus for our healing, for our deliverance. That's all. That's all. Yes, let me hear you, please.
Pastor, my question is on the 6 offices of the church.
Yes.
I want to know, what's the difference between a teacher and a pastor? And what's the duty of an apostle? I don't know.
Praise God. Yes. A pastor is the one that has the ministry of watching over God's people. He is also called a shepherd. He is also called overseer. He is also called bishop. It's the same thing. He's also called elder. His position is, his ministry is, because he's a shepherd, he has the sheep food called pasture. That's why he's the keeper.
keeper of the sheepfold. That's why he's called pastor. Pastor is the keeper of pasture, the sheepfold. So he is like a father to all in that local ministry. For which other one? Apostle.
Yes.
Okay, a teacher first.
Teacher first.
A teacher. A teacher is a teacher.
Not clear.
One who teaches. But the truth is that because he's a teacher, the depth. You see, church, listen. You know, a prophet sees vision, hears voice, the means by which God talks to him. Yet, but you have the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge is the ability to know something. When God shows you through four means, the gift of the word of knowledge in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, dream, vision, audible voice, or inspiration like a thought. It all comes under the word of knowledge. But what we're saying is, let him come. 1 minute. You want to sit down? Just sit down. Praise God. Just, you discover that. But now, he sees vision. Like the prophet also sees vision. But the prophet has an added ability that he, the other one, does not have. A prophet has the ability of inquiry specifically concerning any matter, and God will talk back to him. But one that has just the gift of the word of knowledge, he does not even think, it's not even what he's expecting. He's just there like that, something flashes, and then he just sees it like that. So also, the pastor and the teacher. The teacher has an ability that he takes time to teach. That is, line upon line. Isaiah 28 says so. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. He comes and gives a picture. But a pastor, a teacher comes with one topic. He comes topic by topic to establish the people. A pastor will run through every area. A pastor. Now, what do you call him? An apostle. An apostle is one that is specifically sent to go and do something. He is an apostle.
Are you a teacher or a pastor?
Me. I'm the pastor of this church. You don't know me? Let me be pastor here now.
Praise the Lord.
You want to find out whether I'm a teacher or this?
But I've never heard about any person answering a teacher.
Yeah, because...
Or everybody, pastor.
Now listen now, praise the Lord. It's because we are used to attaching titles to ourselves. You see, your gift places you. In this church, we have teachers.
And they are answering pastors.
Eh?
They are answering pastors.
Eh? Which one you
I'm
know?
I'm asking now.
I said they are teachers. They are just ministers here. They don't answer anything. But we know them that they are teachers. So when it is time to teach, they come. They teach. They teach us in Sunday school here. They teach us.
Okay.
Okay. No, you are not convinced. You are okay. You want them to be a teacher Victor? Teacher Francis? Teacher Ikike? Yes? Okay. Yes? No, sister is asking questions. Let me hear you. Ask your question.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, my question is this. About baptism. This is the first time of me coming to this place.
Today is your first time?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So...
Uh-huh.
So, about baptism. He said that it is only in, I baptize you in Jesus, in name of Jesus Christ. You dip the person inside the water and bring him about. Right. Yes. So, but the Bible says that go and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. So, coming to an infant baptism, I understand that you preach that is not necessary, is not good, in fact.
Which one they talk now?
This is
Jesus. Second question.
Yes.
Okay, make I answer the first one first now. You're talking about why did Bible say we should baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Okay, let me put the question this way. Maybe that's what you are asking. Jesus Christ said we should baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But Peter in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, it's not me now. Now Peter, open your Bible.
Acts of Apostle.
Acts.
Verse what?
Acts chapter 2.
Yes.
Verse 38.
Verse 38.
Read it.
Amen. Peter said to them, each one of you must turn away from your sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So we receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. And for God's promise was made to you and your children.
Which name did Peter say we should baptize?
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Which name did Jesus say we should baptize?
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Was Peter wrong?
Jesus Christ said that we should baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And then, Peter is saying baptize in the name of Jesus.
Then Peter then had his own. Yes, because he had his own.
Okay, praise the Lord. Now that is the reasoning. Amen. This Bible tells us that all is written by what? Inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, can God contradict himself? No. Instead, you should ask, why should Peter say baptize in the name of Jesus? When Jesus said baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, what's the name of your father?
Mr. Ewuchukwu.
No, the name of your father is Father.
Yes.
Eh?
My father.
Yes.
His name is my father, his father.
Yes. Yeah, it's correct.
I say Mr. Ewuchukwu, he said the name of my father is Father.
I said the name of your father. Everybody call your father Father, isn't it? Because
it's Father, yes.
His name is Father.
Yes. It's Ms. Ewuchukwu now.
sorry, don't be confused. You know why they are laughing? Because they know what I'm asking you. You know, he's coming here for the first time. I said, if I tell you to go and do something in the name of your father, which name will you use? Answer.
Yeah, I don't understand you. Pastor, I don't understand what you're
saying. Okay, let me ask again. If I tell you to go in the name of your father and go and collect Western Union transfer, and the first question is the name of your father, which name will you write?
Ewuchukwu.
Why?
Because it's my father's name.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Because Ewuchukwu is your father's name. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father. And Peter baptized in the name of Jesus. It is because Jesus is the name of the Father. Simple.
you understand now?
So does it mean that if you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
why did you not go for Western Union and write Father there? Will they give you the money? Answer.
No, no.
Because you have not called the name of the Father. The emphasis is the name of the Father. Go and baptize in the name of the Father. You will wait. What is the name of the Father so that you can baptize in that name? What is the name of the Son? Then you baptize in that name. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Then you baptize in that name. And if you search the scripture, there is no time to go into details. You discover that that name, Jesus, is the name of the Father he gave his Son. So Jesus is actually bearing the name of the Father. Praise God. So that's why every baptism done by those apostles, 11 of them, he told them, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And they all heard him, and they all went and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, because they understood that the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is the name of the Father. And the Holy Ghost, John 14 verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name. John 5:43, he said, I come in my Father's name, but you will not receive me. If another come in his name, him you will receive. John 17 verse 6 said, I have manifested thy name to the people you gave me. Which name did he manifest? It's Jesus. Jesus is the name of the Father. He gave the Son. Praise the Lord. So, baptism in the name, and he didn't say names, one name. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you went to school. You know, one interesting thing, when I see people unable to catch this simple fact, is because religion has blinded us so much until you read Bible and you read it through the filter of your denomination. So you have no time for the Holy Ghost to open your eyes to see the meaning of anything anymore. Until this simple English, it's English. Go and baptize in the name of the Father. You will ask, what is the name of the Father? And use the name and baptize. Father is title. Son is title. You are a son of your Father. You are a son of your Father.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Do you have a name?
Yes,
What is the name? What's your father's name?
My father's name?
Eguchukwu now. What is the name of this son of Eguchukwu?
Chibuzo.
Son. Not be son.
My name is Chibuzo.
Son. Not be son. Your name is son.
Son, yes.
Your
son.
Name is son.
Yes. Yes,
yes son. The son of Eguchukwu, the son of Eguchukwu is who? What is the name of the son of Eguchukwu?
Chibuzo.
Chibuzo is the name of the son. So if I'm going to do anything in the name of the son of Eguchukwu, I will call which name?
Chibuzo.
Chibuzo. Apostle Paul was not with those 11 disciples. It was some years after that he himself gave his life to Christ, when Christ arrested him on his way to Damascus. And in Acts chapter 19, amen, he saw some disciples that were coming, but there was a behavior around them that made him to ask a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said they don't even know what they call Holy Ghost. And he asked, unto what then were you baptized? Amen. And the Bible says, they say it was John's baptism, and he took time and explained the difference between John's baptism and the baptism that Jesus Christ has instituted. And if you read it down, it said they believed and he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Even Paul, Apostle Paul said, if any man, Galatians chapter 1, preaches any other gospel contrary to what they have preached, let that person be accursed. The certainty of what they believed. So I know why you are confused. You know what I'm telling you is correct. But you are in which church do you worship? Oh, some could not call church today. Oh, no call church. But maybe the big, are you Catholic?
I have another question.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I'm a Catholic.
How will this common person here know better than Pope? That's the problem you have. That's the problem you have. Amen. And when you serve God like that, you will miss the road. You don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach you salvation, you miss the way.
I have another
question. Infant baptism.
Yes.
Yes.
No, how old will a man or anybody reach to go to that mansion baptism? As in what age?
As old enough that you can know good from right from bad. Good from bad. Once you know, say this is bad. At what age will a child kill person before they go jail?
18 years, you mean?
Yeah. Who tell you so? Have you heard of juvenile court? You never hear of juvenile court? Eh? If you go to prison, yeah, now you get one section where they keep children there who are under 18. So you know how to defend yourself until you can kill somebody. The law say it means you should be kept in prison. They will not kill you, but you'll be in prison.
Okay. But don't be offended though.
Yes.
If somebody died without baptism, maybe you have not reached to the age to know your left and right. Maybe an infant died without baptism.
What age can a woman now be pregnant? From which age? Eh?
12 years.
So which question did they ask me?
Somebody can die at the age of 7. Somebody can die at the age of a year, at the age of 2 years. Anybody
the
can die.
The blood of Jesus Christ takes care of that.
But
Pastor, I said the blood of Jesus Christ takes care of it. Leave them. Salvation is between God and that person. You that you are of age, there is an expectation of yours, of you, from you to do. Praise the Lord. Why did I say so? The Bible says that your godmother or godfather that stands at infant baptism is standing in the gap for that baby, isn't it? The Bible says your godfather is the mediator between that child and God. Is that what the Bible says? Give a microphone.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. Which scripture? The Bible said there is one mediator between God and man. Who is the person? Said the man, Jesus. Jesus is the one standing in the gap for every one of us, including that child. So let no human being stand in the position of Jesus Christ for redemption. Jesus Christ already standing for that child. Praise God. Okay. But the answer is deeper than that though. I'm just answering this on evangelistic level. But if I'm to go on the teaching level, you discover that the child, if his name is written in the book of life. Amen. Brother, there is a book of life. Everyone that will be saved, their names are written in that book. And it was written before the foundation of this world. So that's why I say if I'm to teach, I will go deeper. If that child's name is written there, there's nothing you will do. It can never die until he receives remission of sins and receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He can never die. But that is another doctrine entirely. Okay, let me hear you, sister. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I have two questions, but you have answered one.
Okay.
So the second one is...
That is a series I started last Sunday. God willing, I will complete it next Sunday. The brother,
I titled the teaching I started last Sunday. I say, salvation is not for everybody. Come and listen to it. Get the tape. I started last Sunday. The tape is at the tape stand. Get the DVD there. Salvation is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Therefore, it's not everybody that we know the true way for salvation. Yes?
Yes, sir. You have answered the first one concerning baptism. Then the second one, how can somebody know the perfect will of God?
Praise the Lord. Perfect will of God. Because of time, I preach that message. It's there. Try and get the tape. Eh? Is it at the tape stand? It's at the tape stand there, at the back of the auditorium. But to know the perfect will of God, first and foremost, the Bible. The Bible is the beginning of the will of God. Concerning marriage, for instance, what is the... Okay, I should ask you. Let me be more specific. Concerning which area? Which area? Perfect will of God concerning which area?
Serving God.
To serve God?
Yes, serving God. Because sometimes you'll be praying and praying and praying, God will not answer you. So maybe it's not the will, it's will.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
There is another message I preached 2 weeks ago. Is it 2 or 3 weeks ago? Luke chapter 6. Let me just answer you from that scripture. Luke chapter 6. There's a scripture. Open your Bible. John chapter 6. Sorry. John chapter 6. Let me just... The answer is deep. You know, she went wide. I thought she would say, how can I know the perfect will of God concerning marriage? Or how can I know the perfect will of God concerning the job? But he said to serve God generally. Let me read it from verse 28. Amen. This is the same question you are asking now, sister. Where is she? Ahem. John 6:28. He says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? What shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Verse 29 is the answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Perfect will of God. He said, believe on him whom he has sent. Amen. As at the time he was talking, who did God send? He sent his only begotten son. In John chapter, is it Matthew chapter 17? He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So, because the Pharisees at that time, they were serving God. But when God moved from the law to grace, they could not catch it. Therefore, if they turned down Jesus Christ and they are there following the law of Moses, when Jesus Christ has come to fulfill it, they are out of God's perfect will. God's perfect will is now here. And from that time until now, he is still sending his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Him whom he has sent. And he has sent the Holy Ghost. That's why we must have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, them that are led by the Spirit. Because he will always show you the perfect will of God. But there is another catch. Ezekiel chapter 14. He says, he told the prophet something. He said, if the people come to inquire from you, Ezekiel, with the idols in their hearts, he said, I, the Lord, will answer them according to their idols in their hearts. Amen. Amen. You know, serving this God is so dicey, so dangerous. Just submit yourself total. If not, you miss him very easily. What did he mean? He's saying that in Israel, before you go to make any, before you do anything at all, he has a prophet, you go and inquire. You have already made up your mind. Like an example I gave recently, William Branham, two people came to him. The first person came to him and told him, for one reason or the other, we've not planned for another child, but my wife has gotten pregnant. Can I remove it? We want to remove it. And a prophet of God, he inquired and said, go and terminate the pregnancy. William Branham's son was sitting in the office there with him. Shortly after, another person came with the same problem. And the first one that came, he said, no. You don't remove it. God hates abortion. He left. Okay, man of God. Okay, sir. He left. Shortly after, another one entered, made the same inquiry. William Brown said, yes, go and terminate it. And he left. God decided to go and terminate it. The son asked William Branham, what's happening? They have the same thing. Now, why did you permit this one not permit? He said, the first one that came was very sincere. He wanted to know the perfect will of God. So God told him the perfect will. He said, the second one has made up his mind. Whatever you say, I go come out down. And he still say, well, let me just come. God say, he will answer you according to the idol in your heart. So he left. Has he gone in the perfect will of God? No. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible, for instance, say, it permit not a woman to teach nor usurp authority. It's already written. And then you are going, a woman with self-ambition, wanting to establish a worldwide ministry because of an ability or a gift that you have. The perfect will of God is in the Bible. You are going to do dry fasting in the mountain. The angel of God will come and say, go, my daughter, go, take over the whole of Lagos, I give you. That woman is going and saying, God told me to go and start a church. Did God tell her? Yes. But it's answering her according to the idol of her heart. Let me give you another example. Oh, you don't tire. Make I give you another one. Balak went to hire Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam decided to go and inquire. God told Balaam that night, I have blessed them. You can't curse whom I have blessed. That is God's perfect will. The next day, they came back with more gifts because of the gift he saw. Money. Balaam said, find out. You have already had the perfect will of God. He went back again the second day. I was doing Navigi. Lord, shall I curse them? Lord, shall I? It was troubling heaven. God, they say, oh yeah, go and curse them. Go. Hey, he jump up. Where are you going with your horse? God, they say, I should go and curse those people. Did God tell him? Yes. But here was an angel waiting to cut off his neck in front. See what I'm saying now? So how do you know? Make I add another one. Praise the Lord. No, she said, how will she know the perfect will of God? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbeliever. The first yoke is marriage. As
this time you may go to church, you may read up. But at this Guru Maharaj, brother, when you see that you love, the man get money. Ah, poverty, where are my family? Me, I'm not going to enter a house, so I go suffer. This man get money. Ah, me, I go. Me, I go. Me, I go. Me, I go. Make I go meet Prophet Sunday. Prophet Sunday. Prophet Sunday, not the Prophet Cosmos. As soon as you step his office, ah, sister, I see one brother. You go discover. They say, yes, 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 yes. God will say, now your husband. You will jump up now. Ha! Hey, God will say, now your husband. Hey, God, no, God will give me my heart desire. I know, now here I want. But the Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbeliever. That is the perfect will. You are now walking in God's permissive will. And the end will show you, say, the reason why God tell you, make you go. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. I think I've answered your question. Okay, the last two. Now the last two brothers.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Pastor, sir, my name is Brother Robert Osagun. This is my second time of coming here, but this is my first time being in service. Please, I want to know if somebody has done immersion baptism and fall out, will the person do it again?
But water baptism is only once. It brings you into a relationship with God. Because after water baptism, the Lord will give you the Holy Ghost. That is the power to live a life of righteousness. A relationship exists from that time between you and God. A father-child relationship. If you commit anything, it will not be water baptism again. It will be Cain. For whom he loves.
I'm okay, Cain. Sir. I have a second question.
But you understand the first one?
Very clear.
Thank you.
Sir, my second question comes this way.
Yes.
Some pastors or men of God, they are looking for fruit of the womb. But when they pray for somebody, that person become true. Why?
Yes. That is why I was hesitating on how I will answer my sister. Because the perfect will of God is also sometimes awkward. Amen. The perfect will of God is also sometimes awkward. Romans 8:28. Amen. It says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Your life is determined by the purpose of God in your life. And depending on what he wants to use to fulfill his purpose in your life. I give you an example. God had spoken more than 700 years earlier that a virgin shall conceive. Did God know who that virgin will be? Did he know? Did he know who he will be? Here, he also promised that he will send John the Baptist. Eh? Yes. When in Isaiah 40, he said that you send his messenger to prepare the way for him. And in Malachi chapter 3, did he know who he will use? Did he know that he will use John the Baptist? Did he know who will born John the Baptist?
He knew everything.
That he didn't know that Elizabeth will be the one to born John the Baptist?
He knew everything.
And he had ordained that the age difference between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ will be how many months? 6 months. He determined it so. But here is Zechariah married Elizabeth. And he's there praying for fruit of the womb. And the womb, the child that God has ordained to open that womb is John the Baptist. And he has ordained that John the Baptist will come 6 months before Mary will be pregnant. And Mary never jammed Joseph. And Mary, the time never reached according to God's own program. Because Apostle Paul said, in the fullness of time, hallelujah, Christ was manifested.
Sir,
according to God's wonders.
I'm very true. I am true.
You're clear now. You're clear. So I should not go ahead again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He has a purpose in your life. And once that purpose comes, for that purpose, what do you call it? Abraham and Sarah, the same thing. Just go through. But there's a scripture that you must also read. Romans chapter 5. I think it's Romans chapter 5. Let me be sure first. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture in Romans. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I read it for you? Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Amen. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. So there are some tribulations that are the perfect will of God. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Tribulation will produce patience. Patience, because anyone that will walk with God, anyone that will walk with God, you must cultivate the virtue of patience. If not, Satan will mess up your Christian faith. God has appointed time for everything. Every one of us were in a program of God. He has his time for you. So immediately you give your life to Christ, the training of patience begins. Why? He said, tribulation, difficulty will work out patience. And patience will now work out experience. And experience now that you have gotten through tribulation, through patience, all that you went through, it gives you hope. Because of what you have gone through, your faith is different from the faith of others. So I can say, I will not die by any sickness. Why? He has allowed sickness to torment me until I nearly died. But I didn't give up. I still continue patiently until he healed me. Any other sickness that come, I will remember the experience I had and tell you I will not die. You can say I will not die because you are quoting Bible, but my own not be Bible now. From experience, and they say I will not die. It's two different type of faith. Okay, the last person now.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
My name is Brother Kenneth Udezo. Amen. This is my first time of coming here, and I want to clarify myself. And
do you know, brother? No, this is very interesting. Do you know what Joseph went through was God's perfect will? Eh? Do you know what Joseph went through? He was hated by his brothers. It was God's perfect will for them to hate him. They sold him away. Everything they were doing were all negative, to prove as if the dream he had that he would be a king will fail. But God didn't tell him where he will be a king. All things will work together for good. They were pushing him to where he will become a king. They didn't even know. They were pushing him until his kingship will spring from prison yard. So they sent him to prison, and this man has not committed any sin. There is nothing the devil can use against him, yet everything around him was negative. But unknown to him, they were pushing him to his destiny. Every persecution you receive is to push you to your destiny. Yes, let me hear you.
Hallelujah. Please, my question goes like this. I want to know about speaking in tongues. My own Bible tells me in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, from verse 1, that the day of the Pentecost. that the apostles, they were seated together in one place in one accord. And a sound came like a rushing wind and covers the whole of the building, the whole house where they were all seated. And something like a cloves of tongues came upon their head, you know, seated, you know, upon their head. And they began to speak in diverse tongues. And if you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, it says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understands what that man speaketh, for what he speaketh is miseries. So, but I want to know now, whereby some pastors will want to force you to speak in tongue. They will say, begin to speak. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But the Bible never made me to understand I myself in what. I don't know for others. But I want to know, why is it like that? You will go to some churches, they will say, oh yeah, begin to speak now. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. So now just clarify me, I want to understand.
Praise the Lord. Do you see us doing it here in this church? Is it your first time of coming here?
Yes, sir. It's my first time of coming here, sir.
But I can only answer for what we do here. You will have asked me, why do you tell all your members here to stand up and speak in tongue if you see us speaking in tongue? Then I will have answered. I will have expected you to go to any of those pastors doing that, to ask them to explain to you. Then the answer they give you, then come and tell me what they tell you. But praise the Lord. Where do you worship?
Hallelujah. I worship at His Majesty Gospel Mission.
A Pentecostal church?
Yes, sir.
Everybody there speak in tongue like that?
No, but most of the times I see some pastors, I will not mention names here.
Yes.
I've been to some places whereby...
In your own church, do they do it like that?
No, they don't do it like that.
Have you asked your pastor this question?
Yeah, I once asked my pastor. He said that everybody operates in his own kind of ministry. That's what he said.
Your pastor is blind. That's the answer of a blind man. Spiritually blind. Church, that is part of the errors in Pentecostalism. If you read 1 Corinthians 14, where you read, Apostle Paul lined it up. He lined it up. Everybody, he said, Apostle Paul said, if the unlearned come to you, can we read it? Because somebody would think I'm speaking from my own mind, my own mouth. See what he said. Jerry, I know they're wrong. Come up to this one before I read my book. See where they put my pulpit there. You come put this one here for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read from verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else,
when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? See, he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Praise the Lord. Verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that unto this for all that will they not hear me, said the Lord. Wherefore, see where I'm going? Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Listen to me. This is Apostle Paul talking. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesy, serving not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Let me write down. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Everybody cannot speak in tongue. Now let me tell you where they make the mistake quickly, so that we pray and go. Everywhere they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was the manifestation of the Spirit of speaking in tongue. Praise God. Everywhere in the Bible that they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was a manifestation of speaking in tongue. Then the Pentecostals coined a doctrine out of it, that speaking in tongue is an evidence of the Holy Ghost. And since they also teach that once you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth unto salvation, you are born again. And since everyone that is born again must speak in tongue, according to their teaching, so the evidence that you are born again, begin to speak in tongue. So everybody now is speaking in tongue, speaking in tongue. But they forgot that in the Bible, every time they speak in tongue, they speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. It is a supernatural action. You cannot will speaking in tongue. If not, then it is not an action of the Holy Ghost. You cannot just stand and say, I stand up and say, everybody, stand up and begin to speak in tongue. Pastor, someone could start to speak in tongues. What are you saying? You are speaking a language you don't even know. So you should be more careful to make sure that what you are actually saying is a supernatural action. It is an action. See, praise the Lord. Listen. All this mumu following must stop, because the Spirit of restoration has been released to the church to come back to Bible Christianity. Come back to the Bible. A man stands up and tells you, speak in tongue. Everybody begin to worship God in the Spirit. Speak in tongue. Everybody speak in tongue. It simply means he himself does not even know about the gift of speaking in tongue. Everybody cannot have that gift. It is a gift. It is a manifestation, but there are other manifestations. As the church grew from Acts chapter 2, as the church grew in the church ages to come, there were other manifestations that somebody will receive, and you know that he has received the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is one of them. When you, that's why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said there are different administration by the same Spirit, different operation by the same Spirit, different manifestation by the same Spirit. And he mentioned among the manifestations, he mentioned 9 of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And among them is speaking in tongues, unknown tongues. And there's another one, interpretation of that tongue is another one. They are all manifestation to show that you have received something. And I have taught here during the baptism of the Holy Ghost program here that we have every year, that study shows different manifestation, different, and that you can receive the Holy Ghost by falling down. He can fall you down under anointing. It's a manifestation. It can slay you. All your bones are gone. You are just there. Try to stand up. You cannot stand up. Some will just be shouting. On the day of Pentecost, there was another manifestation. They were walking like people who were drunk. It's a manifestation. That's why they say whether they are drunk. And Peter had to tell them, it's just 9 a.m. We are not drunk. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. It's just ignorance. You can't, if your own speaking in tongue, your own, is such that you can will it. Ha! Brema? Abeg, just give me 30 minutes. I want to charge myself first. I want to charge myself 30 minutes. Then you enter a room. That is not the tongue of the Holy Ghost. You know it. You know it. And every gift you have, the atmosphere must be right for it to be ignited. The atmosphere must be right for it to be ignited. Apart from those who have the intercessory gift, and apart from the prophets, and those also who have the gift of the word of knowledge. Because I know of a sister that last week had a message. She closed from church. Now for inside bus, the angel came and they tell her message. She had to tell the angel, say, wait, now make her go down. Now, you know, see noise. I know they hear you well. The thing stopped. So she stopped from the bus and saw a shop and just jumped from the bus and went inside the shop and began to pray. Say, Lord, talk to your servant. I'm hearing you now. And the angel came back and began to give her the message. Okay? That is because God is sending somebody. So he can choose anytime, anywhere. And you won't even know. You won't come and say, hey, Father, send me to Brother Assembly. I want to give them message. Father, send me to Brother Assembly. I want to give them message. You go first and give you message for Brother Assembly. There is no gift. It can be fire sensation all over you. Receive the Holy Ghost, you start to feel fire, and it will last for days. Fire all over you. And the evidence that it is the Holy Ghost is that once the atmosphere just changes small, just go anywhere, they are just praising God. Hallelujah! The fire will start. Some tears will just be coming out of their eyes. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. But because of ignorance, people, and devil has messed that thing up, messed it up. People think that they are spiritual because they speak in tongue. So you, when they speak in tongue now, you'll be feeling, they will look at you and say, no, start speaking in tongue. Then shame will catch you. So you too now go to John. You will spot and say, the Bible say, as the Spirit giveth, me, I just follow them. But, Sometimes you will stop. It's true now because you are sincere. But those who want to deceive them say, hey, mama, so toroma. What are you saying? You don't know whether you are cursing yourself. That's why your condition will not change. Or you are cursing God. You don't know what you are saying. Everybody has his own gift. Everybody cannot operate the same gift. Everybody. No. Tongue is a gift. And make sure it is original from above. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thanks, sir.
Clap your hands for Jesus Christ. If you love the truth, clap your hands for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Evangelist Ike is here. Come now. Come now. They put your advert for Prosperity Week for Wazobia. They call you money doubler. I said, may they come out and move because our enemy is too plenty. They say, will they do money doubling for here? Amen. We have our Prosperity Week. First week of August. Amen. Praise the Lord. This man, when he grew up, poverty, he suffered from poverty. So when he gave his life to Christ, he hated poverty. He hated poverty. You see, when God is going to give you a ministry, he will train you in it. And he will train you in it. You see why I am passionate with women for fruit of the womb. It's because I married for 20 years, no picking. It's after 20 years that I got one. Up to now, I see that one day. But God was training me because he was going to position me. So that when I see a woman that is looking for fruit of the womb, I will understand how she feels. This young man suffered for poverty. Before God now, come lift her up. So, if you see anybody poor, in the understand. Now then, force us, say we must have Prosperity Week in this church. So they call him money doubler because when he blesses you, you must be blessed. Come and collect our offering from them.
Can we clap our hands for Jesus Christ? Amen. Please, if you are for contender prayer group, go out, they are on their way to the camp. Contender prayer group, they are on their way to the mountain. If you are in that group, please go out and meet them. Praise God. If you want God to change your condition, if you want God to increase you, to enlarge your course, make sure you attend this program. It is a time we give God practical. It is wait and take. The name Money Doubler didn't tell people to call me. It's not a guy name. It is the testimony that come out of the program. So you come and get your own. How many of you will be around? It is a time of manifestation. So when that time comes, we will see it. It is wrong. We want to build for God.